So my name is Renee, and I am part of the teaching team. So welcome this morning. Let's go ahead and just bring our hearts to the Lord this morning. So Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you met with us this morning. We want right now, God, just to meet with you. We want our hearts to be challenged. God, we want to anticipate your return. We just give this time to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So on the top of your notes, I gave you the yearly review. So grab that out. January through April, we did spiritual gifts and spring feasts. Do you remember that? It's been a while, right? May through August, we did our discipleship series, and we just finished last week. September, we're moving into the fall feasts. October and November, we will be doing 1 Thessalonians. And in December, we'll be doing Advent and Christmas. So that gives you an idea what we've covered this year and where we're going. So last year, we started a series on the feasts. Do you guys remember them? You can look up here, and it's in your notes. We did Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost. And we're going to go back now into our fall feasts. Why? I'm not Jewish. Are you? Why are we doing the feasts? Let's discuss that today. Why do we celebrate the feasts? So God established them. And I want to talk to you guys about calendars. Take out your cell phones. I give you permission. Take out your cell phones. I want you to count how many calendars you have on your cell phone. As you count, I'm going to tell you how many I have. I have my iPhone calendar. I have 3 Google calendars. And I have an Airbnb host calendar. Is that all of them? And I have an Outlook calendar. I have 6 calendars on my phone. I have 4 calendars at home. One in my office, one in my husband's office, one in our kitchen, and one in our Airbnb for our guests. Talk to each other. How many calendars do you guys have? Go ahead. I'm giving you permission. Talk to each other. How many calendars do you have? Wait a minute. I've got 10. The purpose of our calendars, appointments, weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, kids, teacher meetings, sporting events, all sorts of reasons we have calendars to keep appointments. Did you know that God has a calendar? Turn in Leviticus to me. Now, guys, grab your Bibles. There's either on your phone, grab the Bible in front of you. It'll be up here, but really, if you just hold on to it, it's so good. Leviticus 31. Leviticus is the third book, and I'm sorry, Leviticus 23. Sorry, I'm not sure where I got 31. Leviticus 23. So this is Moses. God has just given Moses how to run my tabernacle. What are the rules? What are the processes? What are all the things that revolve around my tabernacle? And now he's talking to Moses about his calendar. All right, so I'm going to read it. Leviticus 23, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'These are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the 7th day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them.'" And I want to read verse 5 and 6 because this is how specific God gets. And me being administration, I love this. Like, give me the details, God. He says, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, it is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So here's God. He say, listen, I've got an appointment. I have a calendar. I want you to meet me. And that word feast is actually not a good interpretation of the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is moed, O-M-E-D, moed. And that word means, come here, it is a fixed meeting, appointed time. So God is saying, when we think of the word feast, we think Thanksgiving, right? Lots of food, a table set out with food everywhere, and people gathered all around. That's what we think of the word feasts. But that's not the word that is in Hebrew, what it means. It means an appointed meeting time. So God is saying, yeah, you can bring food to the whole thing, but what I want you to do is meet me. These are appointed meeting times with the King of the universe. They are meeting times. And he gives us one every week, Sabbath, but then he gives us these seven. And so we are going to be talking about these seven appointments that God has given us. Well, we think, okay, that's great. That's for the Jewish people. Let's go to Genesis, shall we? Before there was the called Jewish Israel people. Genesis 1, 14. Grab my glasses. Genesis 1, 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate day from night. Let them be signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. When you think of seasons, what do you think? What does that word mean to you? Autumn, fall, spring, winter, summer. Right? Seasons. That is not what that word means. It's moedim, a plural form of moed. It is appointments. So you guys, God said, I'm putting stars in the sky for appointments with you. Is that amazing? He has given us a calendar in the stars to meet with us. So let's talk about our spring. Oh, before we do, I'm going to give you guys a video to show you the beautiful creation of this mural. It was done by Tara.
I was asked to create a large visual timeline for the seven feasts of the Lord. There's not enough time or space here to describe the greatness of God's plan or the mysteries and the complete fulfillment, but here are the basics. These are the feasts that the Lord gave the children of Israel in the Exodus and Levitical times of the Old Testament. The first feast is Pesach, which is called Passover. The angel of death was sent to pass over Egypt and take the life of the firstborn son in every household, unless they had sacrificed a perfect lamb and painted the doorposts with its blood. Those who lived in their home covered in that blood were saved from death. Fast forward a little over 1,000 years, Christ was crucified on the cross and his blood covered us and delivered us from death on the same day. The next feast is Chag HaMatzot, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, celebrated the day after Passover. While the children of Israel were waiting for their escape, they were instructed to put no yeast in their dough. They were instructed to be dressed for travel, with their sandals on their feet, staffs in their hand, and they were told to eat the sacrifice in a hurry. To me, this feast is all about surrender and being obedient to the urgency of the Lord and standing so vigilant as we wait for him to move in our lives. We know that Christ has also been buried and laid in the tomb during this time in the New Testament. Next is Yom HaBikurim. It is the Feast of the First Fruits. This is celebrated 3 days after Passover, better known today as Easter Sunday. But back then, a priest would tie a cord around a sheaf of barley and present it before the Lord at dawn, thus sanctifying the whole harvest. I received this beautiful visual of the priest offering the sheaf as the sun rose, while Christ was also presenting himself before the Lord that same morning at the same time as the first fruits offering. This is in direct conjunction, therefore sanctifying the harvest of souls of his children. The Feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, comes 50 days after this. This is when the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and the Lord presented himself in fire. In the future relative timeline, as the disciples are gathered together in one place in an upper room on Mount Zion, the presence of the Lord comes down once again in fire, and freely gives his spirit and law to them in this way. The next feast is Yom Teruah. This one's really interesting to me. It's better known today as Rosh Hashanah. It's celebrated 21 days later. This is the Feast of Trumpets. The word Teruah literally means alarm, battle cry, or even a shout of joy. Because there isn't as much historical information provided in scripture about this feast as far as the exact date and time it was to be observed, it became known as the Hidden Day, or the day and hour that no man knows. Pretty cool, huh? Which I believe is a beautiful idiom that directly ties into the book of Revelation and the Second Coming. This day was to be marked by the blasting of the shofars and trumpets and set apart for assembly, fire offerings to God, and for rest. This feast to me represents awareness, awakening, anticipation, and repentance for what is to come, and set as a reminder to stay vigilant and in waiting. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's our sixth feast. It commemorates God's forgiveness after Moses returned from the mountain with a second set of tablets. Before Christ's resurrection, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of the people. At this time, two goats were chosen. One was a scapegoat, and it was sent into the wilderness unto Azazel. A crimson cloth was divided, with one piece tied to the scapegoat and the other in the temple. When the cloth turned white, it signified that Israel's sins had been forgiven. After Christ's resurrection, the ritual continued, but the cloth no longer turned white, symbolizing that Jesus had become the final and complete sacrifice for sin, eliminating the need for further atonement through animal sacrifices. The final feast of the harvest season is Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles / Booths. It is our seventh feast, and it celebrates God dwelling among his people, as well as reminding the people of Israel of their time in the wilderness, living in temporary shelters. For 7 days, the people will spend time in temporary structures called sukkahs, where they rejoice before the Lord, share meals, gather as a community and family while they remember the Lord's provision, and look forward to the prophetic appointment where God desires to dwell among his children and will fulfill that in complete peace and restoration. This feast differs to the others as it's not focused on rituals, but rather joy and pure immersion in the Lord's presence. Again, there's so much to these feasts, but I urge everyone to study them, ask the Lord to reveal his intentions behind them. Though we are Christians without Jewish heritage or tradition, I think it's still important to recognize and observe the Lord's heart in all of these. As is written in Leviticus 23, the Lord said, "These are my feasts, and you should observe them through the years to come and throughout all the generations." These aren't just holy holidays built on tradition. They are a roadmap of God's heart and intention for his children. And to me, it stands to reason that if the first four feasts have been fulfilled, then there should be an urgency to acknowledge the signs of the coming fulfillment of the last three, and we should remain in surrender, obedience, repentance, and expectancy.
Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Thank you. Thank you to Taryn for that beautiful. Should I make her stand up? Taryn, will you stand up, sweetheart? So let's look at these, you guys. We have completed and Christ fulfilled the four spring feasts: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. Where are we? We are right here. We are in the interval. We are waiting expectantly for the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's talk about what Christ did. The Passover lamb was sacrificed to cover the sins and to keep them. Remember in Egypt, when they were being freed from Egypt, they put the blood on the doorposts so that the death angel would pass over. That's what the name Passover means. Christ was the perfect Passover lamb, no sin. And so he became the perfect Passover lamb once and for all. We do not need to sacrifice a lamb every year to cover our sins. Christ became the perfect Passover lamb. The unleavened bread. Has anyone seen the movie The Chosen? Anybody watching that? And you watch when Christ breaks the unleavened bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you." Unleavened bread has no yeast in it, and yeast represents sin. And so Christ became our unleavened bread with no sin. And so he fulfilled that feast by becoming the unleavened bread and with no sin in him. On the night that he broke that bread and said, "This is my body given for you," he was fulfilling the feast of unleavened bread. First fruits. On the morning of first fruits, the priest would take a bundle of the first harvest, which was barley, the harvest that happened with the Israel nation, barley, wheat, grapes, olives. First fruit, barley. What does that represent? When the priest was taking that first fruit, wrapped it in a scarlet cord, and raised it up and waved it before the Lord, saying, "We dedicate this first fruit to you to represent the rest of the harvest will be yours." Christ was right being raised from the dead at that moment when the priest was waving that first fruit before the Lord. Christ was saying, "I am the first fruit. I represent those that will be resurrected from the dead." And guess who that is? All of us. He was raised up as the first fruit, and he fulfilled that feast. 50 days later, Pentecost. This was when on Mount Sinai, when the law was given to Moses, and he wrote the law on stone tablets. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and Christ sent the Holy Spirit and wrote the law on our hearts. No longer written on stone, we're written on our hearts, and that is Pentecost. So these have all been fulfilled through Christ. We are here. And we are waiting for these three feasts to be fulfilled. I'm just going to touch real lightly on what those are, and then you're going to be learning about those the rest of this time. But you guys, what I want to show is these were appointments, specific times. He didn't raise from the dead 2 days later. He raised from the dead on first fruits. He didn't send the Holy Spirit 51 days later. It was set on that day, the day of Pentecost. Our God is very specific with times. He has an appointment for the trumpet. Let's read it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. I can make a dry mouth, hard to say that word. 4:16 through 17. 4:16 through 17. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. There is an appointed time that he is coming back. Just like he fulfilled those appointed times at that specific time in history, he has an appointment that he is coming back and will blow that trumpet. And that is our hope. That is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Atonement. Atonement was once a year when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would put blood on the mercy seat for his own sin and then blood on the mercy seat for the rest of Israel. Christ has put his perfect blood on the mercy seat, and we can read the Day of Atonement is coming, Hebrews 9:28. So Hebrews 9:28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Christ, his blood has fulfilled the atonement, but he is coming back to get us. And we will be made pure and holy to stand before the judgment seat. The Feast of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. And you guys, these are ones that we're going to be celebrating. You see the dates on your notebook. These are all ones that we're going to be celebrating this fall. This one is an exciting one because with your life group, hopefully you guys are going to be building a little temporary booth in one of your yards, and you're going to be celebrating. I know the Burnett's clan is, because we did it last year and it was amazing. But what we do is we build these temporary booths to say someday Christ will come and establish his home permanently with us here, and he will live with us and dwell with us and us with him. And where do we see that? Let's go to Revelation. Got too many pages here. I shouldn't have taken them out of my notes because now I'm all messed up. Let's see. Show the video, go forward. There we go. In Revelation, I really lost it. Can someone read me the... Thank you. I'll just grab it here. You know what? I'll just read it up there. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." So all of these appointments, we know, we've seen where God fulfilled the appointments in the spring feasts. We are now anticipating and waiting for the appointment, for the meeting time of the fall feasts. Why do we do this? I mean, why do we celebrate all of these? Because God made an appointment. He said, "Meet with me. Meet with me." And so we have that opportunity, that privilege to meet with him. All right. What I want to do is really, why do we want to keep these appointments with God? First one, to reveal Jesus. The number one intention behind learning all of this is to really to reveal who Jesus is, how he fulfilled the spring feasts, how he will fulfill the fall feasts. These are set times. What this challenges me is it creates just this anticipation and this intimacy. A God that made appointments and set them in the stars wants to meet with me. He wants to meet with you. And so to reveal Jesus is the first reason that we celebrate these feasts. The second one, to remember Jesus. How many people have forgotten appointments in the past? Always, right? I mean, we forget, I'm like, "Oh, I forgot that appointment." Oftentimes it's because I didn't have it on one of my 10 calendars, but appointments. God has set appointments with us. And so to remember, do you remember the story of Joshua going across the Jordan River, right? Do you remember the 12, a representative from each of the 12 tribes goes in, and the water is held back, and the whole nation crosses over into the promised land. You guys remember the story? Do you remember what they did before they fully went and let the water come back? Remember? They took 12 stones from the middle of the river, and they set them up on the side of the promised land, and they built a memorial. Why? When your children ask what these stones are for, let them know that God delivered us and brought us into his promised land. It's a memorial. And so these are memorials, these are appointments that help us to remember what Christ has done and what we are longing for. These are appointments. Number three, to realign with Christ. So many of these appointments bring us to a place of repentance and examination of our heart. And so we realign. It's really a heart check. And so we do all of these appointments to check our heart. The biggest one is every week, God invites us to Sabbath with him. It's what Rory invited us to engage with him this morning. right? It is a realignment of our heart. And that's what these feasts do. They help us realign our heart to where Jesus is taking us. The fourth one, and I want you to add in there, it says to keep God's appointment. What I want you to add in your notes is honor God. Because that's what those appointments are. If the president of the United States, I'm not going political, don't worry. If he said, hey, I want to meet with you and I want to hear your dream for this business that you're going into, would you keep that appointment? I mean, would if someone from Pagosa, I don't know names, but if they said, hey, we want to put like $10,000 into your business, would you meet with me and discuss it with me? Would we go? We would. God is saying, hey, meet with me. Meet with me. And so we do these feasts to meet with God and to honor him. But where are we right now, you guys? All of that, those are great reasons to celebrate the feasts. And we've talked about how the Lord fulfilled the first four, how he's going to fill the last three. But where are we right now? Right here, the interval, the anticipation of the great harvest. Right now in the country of Israel, they are harvesting grapes and olives. And I want to talk about grapes and olives. But before that, let's look at Matthew 9:37. Matthew 9:37 says, so this is Jesus talking to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's where we're at, you guys. We are here. We are not supposed to be just sitting there thinking, well, yeah, he did that and he's coming here. We're supposed to be busy. We're supposed to be doing something. We're not just waiting for his return. He said, listen, it's the time of the harvest, and the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. We are called to be working the harvest right now. So I want to talk with you guys just about what harvesting grapes and olives and how we can kind of twist that a little bit and kind of look at it from a spiritual viewpoint. First, grapes. John 15, and you know this one, John 15, verse 1. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Grapes. Let's talk about grapes. Has anyone been to Napa? Beautiful place. My husband and I went to Napa, and one of the vine dressers said to us, did you know that California produces amazing wine? And do you know why? Nope. Because of its arid, rough terrain. Because it doesn't get all the water that we would like a crop to get. And it is on rocky, stony soil. And because it has to strive to produce grapes, it produces the best grapes for wine. Now, how many like getting grapes from the grocery store? Those are not from those conditions. Grapes from the grocery store are in rich, lush soil with lots of water, and they produce big, plump, sometimes tasteless grapes because they're produced, they're not in a stressful environment, they're produced in a very lush environment. The grapes that Christ is talking about here are those that are produced for wine, to produce not real huge grapes, small little grapes that are rich in flavor. So I ask you this, if you want to be producing fruit and producing grapes in your life, do you want to be producing fruit that produces a $600, $1,000 bottle of wine, or a $6 bunch of grapes from the grocery store? What do you want produced in your life? If you're wanting grapes that are going to be producing that $600, $1,000 bottle of wine, guess where you have to live? Really rough conditions, where God is bringing you through arid, not a lot of abundant water. And you may be thinking, I'm there. I'm in that condition right now. I'm feeling pretty dry. Not a lot of leafy, greeny things being produced, but he's working in your life to produce that fine, small, fruit, tasteful grape to produce wine. Let's talk about olives. I didn't know much about olives. I had to go research it. You could be producing little jars of olives that you eat at your table, or you could be producing $100 bottle of really fine olive oil. Guess what? To produce olive oil, you need to be crushed. You need to be pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed to get the finest olive oil out. Anybody feeling like you're being pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed and crushed? He is producing in you a fine olive oil. What is olive oil used for? Let's look at Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." All of that crushing and pressing in your life is producing a fine oil that can be used to light the path for someone else in your life. Our time in the harvest season, it's a time of crushing and pruning and hardship. Guys, that's where we're at. I would love to say, I want to be in a really rich soil with lots of water, and I don't want trials and I don't want tribulations. I want life to be easy. That is not going to produce the fruit that can be used to bring in the harvest. We are his instruments, his tools to bring in the harvest. But it takes crushing and bruising and pressing to get there. In James 1:1-2, it says, and I don't like this verse, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." I don't want trials. I want life to be easy. "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Guys, we are in a season of harvest. We are waiting for that trumpet to blow. But let's not just sit waiting on our, you know, in our chairs and do nothing. We are in a time of harvest. We want him to be producing in us the fruit that can be used to reach our families, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, all those that he says the harvest is plentiful. I mean, how many of you could name at least one person you know that needs Jesus? I think hopefully all of you can. At least one that we know that needs Jesus. We are the workers in his field to bring in the harvest, but we have to realize it's not an easy process. He has taken us through trials and tribulations, pressing and crushing to bring us to that place. So some of you walked in today and you're tired. You're not lazy tired. You're pressed tired. You're squeezed by something that hasn't let up in weeks. A diagnosis. Maybe your marriage is in a place that's really hard. Maybe you have a child that is really wandering and your heart is breaking for that child. Maybe you have a job right now that it's just asking more than you have to give. I don't want you guys to leave today to think, great, I'm just going to be farming the rest of my life and I'm in a time of harvest. I want you to know he is with you. He never leaves us. He never leaves us alone. He is in the wine press with us. He is in the oil press with us. And he is producing that fruit in us that can be used to minister to our neighbors, our friends, our family. The olive, it doesn't give up on the first. Like, if you take an olive and you press it, it's not going to give out its richest oil the first time you crush it and press it. It's a process. And so we are all in a process. Gethsemane, does anybody know what Gethsemane means? It means oil press. Christ was pressed. He was crushed. And because of his pressing and crushing, he produced this. This is what came because of that, right? The Holy Spirit was able to be sent because of his crushing and pressing. I want to talk to you real quick. Did Jesus set appointed times with his Father? He did, right? He set appointments with his Father. And no matter what the crowd was doing, pressing in and wanting more from him, more healings, more food, more all those things, he set appointed times with his Father. And I want us to do that and just encourage each other and challenge each other. Are you setting appointments with your Father? Are you setting time alone with him so that he can fill you back up? He can show you why you're going through the pressing and the crushing, why you're going through the tribulation. We don't always get an answer, but at least we're tucked in close to him and we're abiding in the vine, staying close to our Father. This morning, go ahead, Rory, if you want to. Actually, you know what? I'd love for you to end it. Tony, are you good with playing? Thanks. If Tony want to come up, and I would love for you to do the ending the service. What I want you guys, just let's just close our eyes for just a moment. I think that when Rory said, you know, let's not do the announcements, let's just really focus in and just draw close to the Lord, I want us to just take that time as we finish today's service to say, Lord, where am I in this process? Where are you in this process? If you are feeling pressed and crushed and pruned right now, we want to be able to minister to you, to encourage you in that process. I want to encourage you that he doesn't prune dead branches. He prunes those that are producing fruit. And so just to be encouraged, Lord, in this pruning, in this crushing, all that I'm going through, I know you're there. I know you're there. Help me see you. And we want to pray that over you as well. If you are just needing that encouragement this morning to say, I'm tired, we want to pray with you to say, keep going. Keep going. He is producing in you fruit to make that $1,000 bottle of wine, to make that $100 bottle of olive oil. He's producing that in your life. Also, if you want just to say, Lord, I want to recommit to make appointments and spend them with you, we want to do that with you as well, just to be able to say, I'm committing today that I'm going to make the appointments with God on a more regular basis. So if the ministry team would come forward. You don't need to come forward for prayer. You can stay right where you're at as well. Grab your neighbor's hand and say, will you pray with me? I'm really needing to hear from the Lord this morning. I'm really needing to make an appointment with him. But we do have the ministry team up here that would love to pray with you. So let's go ahead and stand. And I'm just going to pray over us. Father God, thank you for creating a calendar in the stars for appointments with us, your bride. It's beyond my comprehension that you love us so much that you are saying, come, come, keep the appointment I've set with me. It's amazing, God, that you would set an appointment at creation to meet with those that you love. Lord, for those that are feeling crushed this morning, that feel, I'm just done, I pray you meet with them. Show them your heart. Show them your heart in the process. This is for a season of harvest. It's not for eternity. Eternity is with you. But right now, in this season of harvest, would you meet with your people personally? That they could hear your heart and hear your voice in such a way that they know you are there in the crushing, in the pruning, in the process. I just open the altars to you, or you can be seated and grab your neighbor's hand. Let's just spend some time this morning with an appointment with God.